Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with feathers, and under His wings shall you take refuge. Oh, He shall cover you with feathers, and under His wings shall you take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over you, keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with feathers, and under His wings shall you take refuge. Oh, He shall cover you with feathers, and under His wings shall you take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, peace, nor of destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you.
Ladies and gentlemen, tell me that that right there didn't bring tears to your eyes. Psalm 91 by Victory Boyd. If you look it up, you can follow her if you'd like on YouTube and other places. But her name is Victory Boyd, B-O-Y-D. And that, we've played that before, but it might be the most beautiful thing I've ever seen or heard in my entire life. And I gotta tell you, when you put Bible, just straight, raw, and real scripture, to piano music, worshiping God, there's nothing greater. And KC2022 said she is awesome. She stood up against the jab. I mean, what more could you like about this person? Oh, thank you. Furry Grizzly said, nice haircut, Jeremy. I appreciate that. Sometimes even our own family members at home don't notice. So appreciate that. You guys did a great job last night, you and the team. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, too. I was here 12 hours ago. I was still right here in this studio. I finally left close to 10 o'clock last night, so it was almost a 16-hour day. But, you know, that's a little bit of what we got to do, right? It's only a portion of what we've got to do. Carla says, Holy Spirit music. Look, all of the Elevation Worship and Maverick City music, it's great. Don't get me wrong. I love jamming out. I love jamming out to Stephen McWhirter and Elevation Worship and Brandon Lake and Zach Williams and so many others. I love jamming out to the new age Christian music. But man, putting scripture to piano like that, woo, that's a whole nother ball game. That's a whole nother ball game. ZBM says, am I the only one who's not wanting a rapture to happen? No, atheists don't either. And agnostics and non-believers, they don't want it to happen. But Christians, we do, because that's closer to being with God. That's closer to being with Jesus. Now, I don't want to think about what the world will be like and what they're going to feel, the ones that aren't raptured, but that won't be my concern then. My concern is only with Jesus. So, but I do understand. I do understand why it's scary. Dawn says, great coverage. Stayed the whole time. Well, we thank you so very much. Matter of fact, we noticed that there was some lagging with the words and Will's voice last night and maybe a couple other times. And we're going to get that fixed. So, We already know what the issue is, so we thank you for watching the whole time. Viscap says, first time I've ever heard scripture to music. Can't wait to listen to more of her. Well, folks, today I titled today's show, More Important Than You. That's kind of a harsh title, isn't it? More Important Than You. Ashley Garland says, I wanted to update you on my mom. She is home resting, and they think they got everything out as far as the cancer spot. Amen. Can't beat that, because you can't beat God. I'm ready for the rapture because I know where we're heading. That's really what it comes down to. I'm not ready for the rapture yet because my family isn't there yet. That's not your concern. We did it, and I don't mean to be harsh on that. I really don't, so don't take it that way. That's not your concern. That's God's concern. Your concern is only to plant seeds and to do what God wants you to do, not to be concerned with who gets saved and when. You can only do so much. You can't save anybody. Plant seeds, and we'll see what happens. But that's biblical. That's not just me being rude or anything like that. That is biblical. It is not up to you or me to worry about if our family is saved or not. Our job is only to spread seeds. It's his job to water. It's his job to save. And once you're there, you won't even be thinking about whether your family members made it or not. You won't have that need or that desire. All your needs and desires are going to be filled with Jesus. So, I mean, I know it sounds harsh. It really does. And I used to think of it like that too. But I don't anymore. And that's why I created the Rapture Ready stuff. Because I really, really started to understand the rapture. And I used to think it was a bad thing. I know you guys remember that. Remember when I was like, oh, I'm the rapture. We don't want that to happen. Remember when I said that on Rise Up even? So it really wasn't that long ago that I said that I was afraid of the rapture. And then somebody came and said to me, why are you afraid of the rapture? If you are one with the Holy Spirit or you were walking with Jesus, it's something that you should definitely, welcome. Bordeaux says, I'm trying. My son comes to Bible study with me. He proclaimed himself atheist. You're doing exactly what you need to be. You've got him exactly where he needs to be. We'll put it that way. You're doing your job. I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. We're 15 minutes past the hour. I want him to really be with us today. I'm a little tired today. I still got a newsletter out, as you see. I'm running on just some fumes right now. So we're actually going to play another Ray Comfort video today. He's out there pumping out videos, so we're going to play them. I don't want to play them every day. But today I kind of need to, as we have 1,200 people in here ready for the gospel and ready to give worship to God. Let's do that together, shall we? Please bow your heads and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, Heavenly Father, today we really want to focus on humility. Today you've guided me to speak on being humble. But really the message today, more important than you. It's not talking about you, God. You know that title is talking to the viewer, to the one listening, to the one watching. Lord, as humans, we instinctively look inwards so very much. And it's not really an evil thing to do. It's just by nature. And you understand that. You're not a God who's waving his finger, and you're not a God who's shaking his head. You're not a God who's keeping score, and you're not a God who's wanting to whip us with a belt for discipline. You're a God who's merciful and graceful and loving and compassionate. And you really want us to understand that we are not as important as the world would have us believe. Not our bodies, anyway. So today we'd like to dig into that, and we're going to be digging into Philippians. So as we dig into Philippians today, and as we study your word, Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless us, bless our ears, bless our understanding, bless the comprehension that we can have through the Holy Spirit of your word so that we can apply it to our lives and become better today than we were tomorrow or yesterday, and tomorrow better than we are today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what I love is my little daughter asked me one day if Christ was his last name. Is Christ his last name like Harold is mine? Well, kind of, but he's the only one with that last name. He's special because he's the only one with that last name, right? Although we really don't know, I don't think they really had last names. I think they were just this person of this person, son of this person. So maybe Christ was the first one with a last name, huh? Grammy Love says, LFA coverage last night was so much better than the biased news station. Y'all did amazing. Except we did get one wrong. We actually preemptively called Vermont, not knowing that the rest of the people that were to vote were all Democrats voting in a Republican primary. Like literally the entire state of Vermont, except with the exception of Eli and his wife, are Democrats. Even the Republicans are Democrats there. So we didn't see that one coming. So we actually got that one wrong. But, 99% effective in being right, I guess. Kristen, good morning. Meemaw, good morning. Caramore, good morning. We're going to dig deep into this right now. I'm going to read the verse of the day today, and I'm going to read the newsletter that I sent out. So if you can please open your newsletters, and while you're opening your newsletters, also make sure that your Bibles are open to Philippians 4, okay? Philippians 4. That's where we're going to be reading today. And also make sure that you have your newsletters open. And make sure you guys visit jeremyharrell.com. That's where you can get your Rapture Ready gear. We have long sleeve shirts. We have short sleeve shirts. We have sweatpants. We have Rapture Ready hats. Deck yourself out today. Let the world know. As for me and my house, we're Rapture Ready, baby. As for me and my house, we are Rapture Ready. Robbie said he had a great time dancing, Eli, last night with the celebration. Every time we won a state, Trump won, and you know it. I mean, if we're gonna cover elections here, why do it so boring, right? Why not be energetic and dance and have positivity and faith in the Lord? And that's the way I want to cover elections, you know? Man, Jeremy, the Holy Spirit speaks so loud. I asked for prayers for my son's mind, and the word comprehension stood out so strong. He's in school for PG&E, and it's not easy. Yes, I imagine. I imagine. The LFA store isn't working. Well, that's right. We did get hacked, and our web guy should have that up and running today. So just make sure that you guys keep, you know, refreshing and seeing if the page is back up and ready yet. We understand that it's definitely, we got hit hard. My web guy reached out to me yesterday and he said, oh, I forgot to tell you 2 days ago we got hit, but yesterday we got hit really hard. And we had to spend another $1,000 out of the LFA TV bank account that we did not budget for extra security again. And see, this is what these losers in this world do. And this is what these demonic spirits in this world do. Is they attach on to positivity. They attach on to spreading the word of God. They attach on to people spreading truth, and they attack them, and they try to bleed them out of money. They try to bleed them dry of funds and resources. But what they don't understand is that you cannot stop the LFA Rise Up family or the LFA family in general. They've tried to cancel us out of existence, and we have persevered because we've got God in our corner, and that's what they just don't understand. They just don't get it. So yeah, we had a party last night. We were enjoying it. We were praying before and after the elections came through. And I think that made all the difference in the world. Also, folks, make sure you check out TrumpetDaily.com. That is TrumpetDaily.com. Make sure that you guys follow the newsletter on TrumpetDaily.com. Because if you follow the newsletter on Trumpet Daily, you actually get stuff in the mail free every month. Every single month. Free stuff in the mail. How can you go wrong there? Plus, it's a godly-centered point of view when it comes to the world, traditions, culture, and politics. So definitely check out Trumpet Daily. And thank you, Kong, for the $5 donation. We love you. God bless. As humans, we instinctively look inward. We protect ourselves. We make sure that we have everything that we need, that we think we need in order to live happy and earthly comfortable. Well, Jesus didn't see it that way. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't even have a home. So you've got all these prosperity preachers out there teaching prosperity, and that means that you have money in the bank and that you have a nice house and that you're, but also in the word, you know, they got to pepper that in there, right? I was told a couple days ago that the LFA hosts have decided and been told to not report anything that I report to LFA. Even asking prayers are ignored now. Just take my money. I don't know what that means, Arthur. Everything that you just said, I don't know anything about. Don't donate if that's the way you feel, my brother. I don't know what else to say. We definitely try to catch everything that comes across the live chat. LFA TV is built on a rock. It sure is, and that is the rock of God. Splendor says, I wish they would teach salvation. I know, right? Jesus didn't have a home. Jesus didn't have money. Jesus didn't have cars. Jesus didn't say, follow me so that you'll have money and cars and clothes. Jesus didn't do any of that. As a matter of fact, Jesus looked outward every time, everywhere he went. He looked outward. He looked not for himself, not for the bettering of himself, not for the accumulation of monetary gain or the accumulation of land or power. Jesus literally did everything for everybody else. Literally. Everything for everybody else. Today we will break this down and speak of what is more important than you. Please help me share the gospel, not gossip, by sharing the link today. So I want to go to the verse of the day today, which is, if you have that handy, it's Philippians. I'm sorry, I said Philippians 4. Go back two chapters. It's Philippians 2. I apologize. Philippians 2. Thank you, Viscap. We really appreciate that. God bless you. Thank you so much. Philippians 2, and we're going to read verses 3 and 4, okay? Do nothing out of rivalry or vanity. I tend to do that a lot, especially in politics, really mainly in politics. I do a lot of things out of rivalry when it comes to my daily political stuff. Do nothing out of rivalry or vanity, but in humility. Regard each other as better than yourselves. Let me say that one more time. Jesus says, regard each other as better than yourselves. Look out for each other's interests and not just for your own. Everything that Jesus is saying there is about how to be outward. He's literally saying that you should look at somebody else's life as more valuable than your own. So you think to yourself, well, then why do they tell me? Jeremy Arthur is saying is he did not, and he doesn't know anything about the hosts of LFA being told anything like that. Yeah, no. That we don't play those baby games here at LFA TV. We come to work every day to do news. That's why we don't get involved in the drama in the chat. That's why we ban people from drama division and stuff like that, because we don't play games. I guarantee you that nobody on planet Earth in LFA TV is conspiring to not take people's reports and only take their money. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. So you might say, well, then why does the airline say to put on your own mask? You can't help somebody else unless you first help yourself. Let me ask you this question. If Jesus was on an airplane and the masks came down and say only one mask came down and there was two people there, Jesus and another person. Okay? Do you think Jesus would have put that mask on himself, or do you think Jesus would put that mask on the person next to him if only one mask came down? I would like to see your answers. Do you think Jesus would have taken the mask for himself, or if Jesus was here today on a plane and the mask came down, do you think Jesus would give it to the person next to him? I mean, it's a pretty simple answer, and I think everybody's going to answer the same thing. The world tries to get you to look inward, but in reality, Jesus has taught you to do everything outward. Nothing inward, always outward. Nothing for self, always for others. Again, Jesus had no home. I mean, come on, he had no home. He had no place that he called his own to lay his head. He had no money, he had no car. He had no land. In reality, he owned all of it. In reality, Jesus could lay claim to the entire earth because nothing on this earth was made without Jesus. Not a tree, not a leaf, not a frog, not a dog, not a cat, not a hat. Nothing in this world was made without Jesus. So everything already belongs to him, and he still didn't take it, and it belonged to him, and he still would rather give it to somebody else. So we live in a world where instinctively, in the flesh, in sin, and with other people, they all tell you, worry about yourself first. Make sure that you have everything you need. But see, you are not the one that makes sure that you have everything you need. He is the one that makes sure that you have everything that you need. It all belongs to him anyway. Even your own body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. Your soul doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. So when you really look at it, why would we try to give to bring everything to ourselves when Jesus didn't do it? That's what he's trying to say. So I want to read what I wrote. I said, as humans, we instinctively look inward because we want to keep ourselves safe and make sure that we have everything that we think we need to survive. What Jesus did was quite the opposite. Even if it put himself in harm's way. Let me say that again. Even if it put himself in harm's way. We know that to be true because it happened. He still did it for other people. So I got to ask you, look yourself in the mirror right now and ask yourself, what is it? Where is there an area in your life where you are being selfish? Now, you may not think that you're being selfish, but really judge it not by earthly standards, not by our standards, but judge it by God's standards. Do you think that there's an area in your life where you are selfish in any way and that you could lighten that up a little bit and work outwards? That's what we need to do. We need to examine ourselves that way, because if we don't put our spirit in front of a mirror every day, but yet we put our body in front of a mirror every day before we leave the house, what sense does that make? Like, let's face it. Here you go. You get ready for work in the morning, right? You're getting ready. You're brushing your teeth, right? Eli, go ahead and leave that link in there. That's okay. That's a link to a Macomb, Georgia explosion, okay? It's an Arthur Nettler link. It's okay. Arthur, we would ask you to put the links in the lower chat, though, because the more links people see in the live chat, the more apt they are to click links. That's why we don't do that. So when you think, if you think that we're removing your links is ignoring you, it's not to do that. It's for the grand scheme of keeping everybody safe in the live chat. That's why we do that. So hope that translates. But let's get back to that. Let's get back to examining ourselves. We stand in front of a mirror every day. We brush our teeth. We comb our hair, right? Women put on makeup. You get dressed. You look yourself in the mirror and you say, okay, do a once over. All right. I look decent. I'm ready to go. And you leave the house. You do it every day. Let me ask you this. How many times do you look yourself in the mirror during the day? How many times do you look in a window when you walk by it to see if you look okay? How many times do you look in the car and you look and pull the mirror down and look at yourself? How many times do you go to the bathroom and look up at the mirror, wash your face and go, okay, all right, wash my hands, walk out of the bathroom? How many times do you do that a day? Now ask yourself this. How many times do you put your spirit in front of the mirror in a day? Because that's the only thing that really matters. It really doesn't matter how you look. You're literally just trying to make it so you don't look terrible to other people. But yet, we walk out of the house, we don't even think about looking terrible to God on the inside. So that's what we need to make sure we have to look at ourselves in front of a spiritual mirror every day and we say, where am I not reflecting the glory of God? Where is it? Which area of my life could I focus on with prayer and ask for God to intercede and help me? Where could I be doing this for somebody else and not for myself? Now, I'm not saying deprive yourself of every great thing in the world. I'm not saying deprive yourself of happy, joyful things. I'm just saying the thing that makes people truly joyful is doing things for other people. Just like when you give somebody a Christmas present, you feel better giving them a Christmas present than you do receiving the Christmas present, right? That's what we need to look forward to. By the way, you will feel so much more joyful and so much more happy when you do that. Trust me. I can tell you this. I would rather help a homeless person up off the streets, help them get a meal, dress them, lose my paycheck for the week doing it, than I would winning a scratch-off ticket for $25,000. I'd feel better. I'd feel happier. I'd feel more joyful. And that is honest to God. I would feel happier giving away a week's paycheck than I would be winning $25,000 on a scratch-off ticket. If that week's paycheck meant that somebody was going to go from the gutter to having a little bit of respect for themselves and to see that somebody out there loves them, I'd do that any day, all day. Money is money. The only thing we need money for is to make sure the LFA TV stays going and that we can pay bills. Outside of that, I don't need extra money. I've been in a world of extra money. I was a high-level salesperson. I had six-figure money. And it was fun. It was great. But I can tell you this, it was never, ever, ever, ever greater than the glory of God. Never. Not even close. Not even close. Faith says, okay, Jeremy, but we have to prosper in order to give, right? No. No. You have to be blessed in order to give. Because it's not always about money. Do you know how many times I've walked up to a homeless person or to a person that's hitchhiking and I don't give them any money, but I bless them, I pray with them, I tell them that I love them? God will provide you everything that you need to give. All you got to do is ask for this. Here you go. Lord, how can I be selfless today? How can I think outwardly today? How can I bless others today? And just by that, God will bless you with everything you need to do that. You can't outgive God, says Wanda Wendy. I know she loves that. You can't outgive God. The more you bless others, the more God will bless you. But here's the thing. It's a revolving door. Okay, I blessed all these people. God's blessing me with all this stuff. I'm going to go bless more people. It's about a revolving door of giving and giving and giving and giving and receiving. That, ladies and gentlemen, is how Jesus lived. And that's how he wants us to live. Hence, you are not that important. The only thing that's important is God's work through you. The only thing that's important is that the Holy Spirit has a heavenly light spotlighting you, not for what you do, for what God's done, for what Jesus has already done. You're just mimicking. You're just playing copycat. All you got to do is play copycat to Jesus. You'll be good. But be sincere, obviously. Right? Wanda says, haha, she knows what I'm talking about. Sharon says, having trouble trying to give, OMG, I'll try, God bless, later. Oh, you mean to give here? That's okay. That's okay. God works in great ways. So anyway, folks, I would like to read from Philippians, Understanding the 66 Books of the Bible. So these are always really great. Kind of gives you a 5,000-foot overview of the book and why it was written, who it was written by, and the main topics of that message, what it is, and how to apply it to your life. No church in the New Testament had more dramatic beginning than the one at Philippi. As described in Acts 16, it involved a businesswoman, a fortune teller, floggings, singing, and a midnight earthquake. Let me just say that one more time. The beginning of Philippi described involved a businesswoman, a fortune teller, flogging, singing, and a midnight earthquake. In the midst of all these events, Paul planted the Philippian church and watered it with his blood. Years later, during his first Roman imprisonment, Paul wrote this very personal letter to the church. They had a unique place in his heart. In these four chapters, Paul used the words I, me, and my over 100 times as he expressed his love and gratitude for the faithful support of his beloved congregation at Philippi. It's no wonder then that contentment and joy are dominant themes of this letter, along with the Christ-like practice of humble service. In chapter 2, we have one of the most important passages about Christ in the Bible. Quote, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant. So, how do we equate that to today's message? Well, Jesus gave up everything for people he didn't even know. He gave up kingship. He gave up power. He gave up the ability to use the power whenever he felt like it, because he gave that ability, gave that up and said, God, at your will and only your will, can I heal this person? Can I bring this person back from the dead? It's not me who's doing this. It is the Father in heaven. He mentioned that many, many times. Again, the entire message here. Jesus gave up everything for everyone, even if they were sinners, even if they were Gentile, even if they were Jew, even if they were whatever. Didn't matter to him. Do you need it? If I got it, I'm going to supply it. How about this? What about the young man who helped the disciples and Jesus by supplying them with the fish and the loaves? That's all he had. He gave it to them so that Jesus could multiply the blessing and feed thousands. Think about that. The food that they got that would have only fed about 5 to 6, maybe it would have fed the disciples. Okay, let's say it would have fed the 12 disciples and Jesus, was given to them. Blessed. Here you go. You take it. They take it. They give it to Jesus. Jesus offers it to God for a thank you and a blessing and a revolving door of giving. And he feeds thousands. One act of selflessness can feed thousands. That's what we need to think about. Okay, yeah, I'm giving up, let's say you give up $100, okay? $100, that might pay for an electric, no, it wouldn't pay for that. It might pay for a water bill, it might pay for a phone bill, it might pay for cable, it might be a night out for you and your wife, whatever it is. And you say, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice this money. Let's say it's money, okay? I'm going to sacrifice this money right now. Well, that sacrifice of even just $100, could feed thousands of people, especially if you sponsor people like my wife and I do, sponsor children and families overseas and in South America and stuff, people that we absolutely know the money is going to. We give them $40 a month. To them, that feeds their entire family and some for weeks and weeks. It is so amazing how a selfless act of something that God blessed you with can literally pay whatever, thousands. And you're right, Splendor, having expensive things is not a bad thing. That's right. It's when those things become idols. That's right. If God cannot trust you with the blessings that he's given you, that's when it's bad. It's not the act of having it. It's the act of what you do with it. Therefore, said Paul, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every other name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Even Muhammad, even Buddha, they're all dead. Jesus is alive. In keeping with Jesus' example, we too then should not look at our own interests, but of the interests of others. Joy, contentment, and humble service. As we internalize Philippians, we'll increasingly share these qualities exhibited by those who confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I hope today's message is something that helped you. I hope today's message is something that will help you examine your soul daily. Because every time I examine my soul, I diagnose myself with another issue that I need to fix spiritually. And that means that I'm still moving forward. You know, you shouldn't get frustrated when you get over one patch of trials and another one comes. You shouldn't get frustrated. You should only say to yourself, that means that God still wants me to learn. I still get to go on this journey. It's when there's nothing else to learn, that's when your hope is gone. Wow, Patty 1186, $400, Eli. I hope this helps. Use where needed. It does, especially after we had to come out of our pocket $1,000 yesterday for some more security. With the money that you guys have donated today, you're gonna replace those funds in no time. And that's the blessing. And that's why we do the Slurp Fund. That's why we help. Because I want to be trusted with what God blesses me with that you guys have blessed us with. That's the only way to go here. Well, folks, it is Ray Comfort time. We are 45 minutes past the hour, and we have a 14-minute video to show you here of Ray Comfort out there just witnessing. So, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, I know it's a Wednesday, but I need to save my voice for the 11 o'clock hour. So I hope it's okay. I think it's always okay to watch a little bit of Ray, right? All right, here we go.
Three things I don't like about Donald Trump.
His narcissism.
His hair.
His hair?
He's a little bit of an extremist.
He's done a lot of good things for this country, and he's also done his fair share of bad things as well.
Like, he can be aggressive and rude sometimes.
You like Trump?
No.
Tell me three things you don't like about Donald Trump.
Inappropriate tweets.
Would you vote for him?
Why, he's running for president?
Yeah, what planet do you live on?
You don't like him?
I'm not a fan.
And what do you think of Donald Trump?
I love Trump. I'm a Trumpy.
What don't you like about Biden?
Unfortunately, he's a little old at this point.
Medically not fit.
You like Biden?
No. He's gross with children.
Yeah, I don't really care for him too much.
Tell you, I don't pay attention to politics.
Have you heard of Joe Biden?
Joe Biden, yeah.
Who is he?
That's our president, right?
You sure?
Nah, yeah, he's our president, no?
Dropped the ball in a lot of areas and made a mockery of our country a little bit.
And three things you do like about Donald Trump?
I'll give him that he's could actually keep up a conversation, not like Joe Biden.
You like Donald Trump?
No.
Why not?
Obviously about with like the wall and everything, like about all that. I can't support him.
You can't support him because he wants to keep illegal aliens out? Is that why?
All right, bro.
The number of people crossing illegally into America this past year has been staggering.
By the way, I love that Ray Comfort is talking about this, by the way.
Nearly a quarter of a million encountered by the U.S. border officials in November.
Is the issue of abortion important to you?
It is.
Does that determine who you're going to vote for?
It will, certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You are here at the invitation of my Democratic colleagues, is that right?
That's correct.
In his opening statement, my good friend Senator Whitehouse said, I want to quote, reproductive justice is economic justice, close quote. Do you agree with that?
I might, as an economist, use the word rights, but yeah, I do agree with that.
That's not true for the baby, is it?
Well, first of all, I would refer to a fetus, not
yeah,
a baby.
But that's, well, a fetus. I refer to it as a baby.
At week 9 to 12 of pregnancy, the embryo is called a fetus. The baby is almost fully formed and has completed the most critical portions. The facial features are more recognizable, the fetus's head is rotated and bent towards the chest, and he can occasionally touch his face.
Funny how they say fetus and
heat. There's no economic justice for the baby, because the baby's dead, right?
We're referring to a fetus.
Okay, is the fetus dead or alive after an abortion?
The fetus would be dead after an abortion. Okay.
Do you support abortion up to the moment of birth?
You're asking me about something that simply doesn't happen.
Well, it's legal in Vermont, New Jersey, Oregon, Colorado, New Mexico, Alaska, and the District of Columbia.
Got him.
The loon wing of the Democratic Party supports abortion up to the moment of birth.
Original now with in-depth reporting on a topic we've been keeping an eye on, which, because of this Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe, centers on that news, specifically on late-term abortions. A doctor who runs a clinic in Colorado, which offers those types of procedures, says he expects to see a lot more new patients with today's ruling.
My name is Cheyenne, and I needed to speak with someone about a later pregnancy termination.
Did they give you days and weeks at all? Did they say you're so many days and so many weeks?
33 weeks today.
Is there anything wrong with the pregnancy?
Yes, my baby has Down syndrome.
Looks like we can see you.
How about you, doctor? Do you support, if the mother is healthy and the baby's healthy, do you support abortion up to the moment of birth?
Senator, you're using really inflammatory language to talk about a medical procedure, and it's not a simple yes or no.
This is a baby at 21 weeks. The baby can feel pain, right?
Yes.
And the baby's pretty developed, right?
Yes.
The doctor would go through the uterus and start tearing the baby apart, is that right?
As far as I understand the procedure.
Yeah, and she might start with the legs and pull them out, and the arms and pull them out, right? And then she might go for the heart or the spine and just pull the baby out piece by piece. Is that right? Without giving the baby pain medication.
Oh, man.
That's what I understand the procedure to be.
Man.
Okay. But then you got to get the head out. The baby's dead, but maybe not. Maybe it's still in pain. But then you got to get the head out. And even with the cervix dilated, you got to get the head out, which is hard. So then the doctor would go in and use those pliers to crush the baby's head. Is that right?
As far as I know.
And then she'd pull the head out, the crushed skull out.
Would you perform a late-term abortion if there was Down syndrome?
Down syndrome, pregnancies are terminated all the time.
What techniques do you use to perform late-term abortions?
We use a range of techniques. I'm not going to go into the specifics.
Do you pierce the baby's head with a sharp instrument?
I'm not going to discuss details
yeah,
or specifics about procedures.
Of course you're not.
Do you think it's a baby in the womb?
No.
What is it?
A fetus.
8 months?
No, I think there's like a limit, I guess.
Well, what's the limit?
I think once it has like a heart.
Oh, that's at 5 weeks, the heart begins to beat at 5 weeks. Did you know that?
No.
Now, how would you kill it? If you're going to kill a baby, how would you do it?
Well, to the clinic. I don't know
what they do?
No.
Oh, they actually go in with these forceps and pull the legs off and the arms off, and then they crush the head.
Yeah, that surprised you right there,
pliers.
Didn't it?
Did you know that?
Mm-mm. Ignorance.
Did you know that?
Ignorance. That's the problem.
How much does it cost to kill a baby in a late-term abortion?
Big money.
$2,000, $3,000, or more than $5,000. Make sure you watch this video to the end to see if you're correct. What happens after people die? Where do they go?
It's not something I'm totally sure of.
Do you ever read the Bible?
No.
I've never read the Bible.
It's the instruction book for humanity, the world's biggest selling book of all time. Did you know that?
Yeah, I believe in God, but I'm not a huge believer in the Bible, honestly.
Why not, if you haven't read it?
Because it's man-made.
Don't know really anything about it, honestly.
Do you believe in God?
I feel like there could be. I'm just, like, not going to give 100%.
I'm just, like, so stoned,
bro. If you saw
bro.
A painting, and I said, do you think there was a painter, would you say, well, I feel like there could be, but I'm not going to give it 100%. No, you'd give it 100%. You say, obviously, there's a painter because paintings don't paint themselves.
Of course.
So creation tells us there's a creator. It's scientifically impossible for nature to have made itself. Do you know there's a way to prove the Bible is God-inspired? Do you know what it is?
No.
It's prophecy. Okay. God prophesied history before it came to being. Are you afraid of death?
Sometimes.
Yeah, when you think about it, that's the sometimes. When you don't think about it and you busy yourself with other things, you're not afraid of it. If you read the Bible, it will tell you why you're going to die, and it will tell you the answer. Are you interested?
Sure.
Okay, it says the wages of sin is death. In other words, God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge who looks at a criminal who's committed multiple murders, but he thinks he's a good person. The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what we're paying you. And Mackay, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row. And your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. The Bible says it's appointed to man once to die. You've got a subpoena. Death is going to seize upon you as an arresting officer and drag you before the judge of the universe to give an account of everything you've ever done and everything you've ever said or thought. Do you think you are so sinful that God is justified in putting you to death for your sins?
I don't think he's, like, punishing us. I don't think he's, like, killing us off for our sins.
You think you're a good person?
I think I'm a good person.
How many lies have you told in your life?
More than I can count.
Have you ever stolen something, even if it's small, in your whole life?
Yeah.
Have you ever stolen something?
Yes.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Do you love your mum?
Of course.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word?
No.
No, because you respect her. But you don't respect the God that gave you a mother. You've taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word to express disgust. Mackay, that's called blasphemy. Very serious. I appreciate your patience. One to go. It's a bit painful, but it's important. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
No.
When did you last look at pornography?
Don't know.
Just recently?
Maybe.
That's lust. That's committing adultery in your heart. You've told me you're a liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And you have to face God on Judgment Day. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments, you're going to be innocent or guilty. Well, you're going to be guilty like the rest of us.
Of course.
If you're guilty, will you go to heaven or hell?
I don't know.
This is what the Bible says. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer will inherit God's kingdom. So you're in big trouble. You've earned your wages. And that horrifies me. If death seized on you tonight, I'd weep my heart out. Because I care about you. I care where you spend eternity.
Yeah.
So here's a question for you. What did God do for guilty sinners so they wouldn't have to go to hell? God did something wonderful. You actually do know, but because you don't understand it, you don't value it. Have you heard of Jesus dying on the cross?
Yes.
Almost everybody has. And Mackay, if you can get a grip of what I'm about to say, it's going to change everything for you. So don't let anything distract you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished, just before he died. He was saying, paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, a judge will let you go if someone pays those fines, even though you're guilty, so you're out of here. And it's legal. Well, God can take the death sentence off you because Jesus paid the fine on the cross in his life's blood and then rose again on the third day. And if you'll simply repent of your sins, turn from them, and put your trust in Jesus, like you trust a parachute, God promises he'll grant you everlasting life as a free gift, not because you're good, but because he's good and kind and rich in mercy. If you're going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet, why would you put on a parachute?
To live.
You don't want to die, and your motivation is fear. And that fear is your friend, it's not your enemy, it's doing you a favor, it's making you put on a parachute. Well, ladies, because I care about you, I've tried to put the fear of God in you today. I've tried to make you a little scared, hoping you'll see that fear as your friend, not your enemy, because it'll make you serious with the God that gave you life.
Right.
And it'll bring you to the foot of the cross where you'll find everlasting life. So is it making sense?
Yes.
So when are you going to repent and put your faith in Jesus and not your goodness?
Today.
When are you going to get right with the Lord?
Like, what does that really mean?
Have you ever had an argument with someone and there's like a barrier between you and you go to them and say, I'm really sorry, and there's tears of reconciliation and you get your friendship back?
No.
Well, at the moment, the Bible says you're an enemy of God in your mind through wicked works. You're in rebellion. Scriptures call us children of disobedience. And every time we sin, we store up his wrath. And if we'll come to him with a tear in our eye and say, God, I've done things that are morally wrong. Please forgive me. Create in me a clean heart. He will. He'll make you brand new on the inside, and that'll be your own personal miracle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when do you think you'll repent and trust in Jesus?
I don't know.
Let me speed up your process. When are you going to die?
I don't know.
That's right. So there's a sense of urgency, because you could die in your sleep tonight. Can I give you that book? It's called Volatile, which shows you the Bible speaks of the nations that will attack Israel actually names them in the last days. Can I give you that book as a gift?
Sure.
Can I give one to you?
Mm-hmm.
So how much does it cost to kill a baby in a late-term abortion?
Less than all of that.
Do you have any New Mexico Medicaid or commercial insurance?
No, I don't, but I was told that I might apply. I did want to find out how much the procedure is if I don't qualify.
You're going to be looking at a $15,500 fee.
What? What?
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your story with, like, how did you come to become... How did you get to become a Christian?
I was 21 when I got a revelation that I was part of the ultimate statistic. 10 out of 10 die. And I had my own business, my own wife, had a house, everything I wanted materially. And one night, we'd just been newly married, she went to sleep and I just looked at her and started weeping and thinking death could seize upon her tonight and I have nothing to live for with all my material wealth. And that night I just cried out, why? Why is this going to happen? Why is everything I love going to be ripped from my hands by this thing called death and nobody speaks about? And 6 months later, I read in a Bible, I was on a surfing trip, where Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman and lusts for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. And I thought, man, if God's seen my thought life, I'm in big trouble, because I was like every red-blooded guy filled with an unlawful sexual desire. So when I acknowledged my sins, that's when I understood why Jesus died on the cross, for our sins so we could be forgiven. And so that happened many, many years ago, and I was granted everlasting life. And I've spent over 50 years talking to people like you and just hoping they'll listen and think about where they're going to spend forever.
Wow.
Real quick, here are three things.
Wow, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Just absolutely wow. $16,000 to kill a baby. Well, I'm going to end you with this. You guys all know the story of what I went through with my family over the last week, and my daughters, and what they lost. I asked my daughter the other day, I kind of took the Ray Comfort approach, and I asked my daughter the other day, I said, if somebody came here and offered you right now $1 million for your eye, would you sell it to them? She said, no. I said, what about $100 million. Never have to worry about anything ever again. Would you sell one eye? She goes, no. I said, why? It's more worth more to you than that? She goes, I would never sell an eye for every single dollar on earth. And I said, then why would you give away your body for free? If you wouldn't even sell one eye for all the money in the world, then why would you give away your body to a stranger for free? I'm going to leave you on that one, guys. We all have our journeys. Make sure you're rapture ready. And make sure you're giving it all to Christ today. Ladies and gentlemen, we have what's supposed to be Mike Crispy coming up next, but it's not going to be Mike Crispy. Oops. As a matter of fact, it's going to be Pete Santilli filling in for Mike Crispy, because Mike Crispy is on the road. So as we go out, I want you to listen to this beautiful music. I know Pete's already starting, but I love you guys. I appreciate you being here today. Today was a powerful show. I ask you guys to make sure you rumble on your way out. And I'll see you at 11 o'clock for 2 hours. Enjoy Pete Santilli filling in for Mike Crispy next on Unafraid. God bless you guys.
In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord.